All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn.
What's up? Do we have a week to go over? I mean, I was expecting... It seemed kind of a little slow, and then at the end here, just
wow,
we got hit hard.
You're going to have to do this podcast by yourself because I'm too tired. I'm exhausted from all the trailers and the news, and oh, man.
It's too much. All right, we're going to jump. We're going to save the big news for last because we'll just get derailed if we start.
Are you talking about the Meg 2?
Yeah, the Meg 2 is in the works.
What?
I saw this movie 3 times, Ben.
That's my favorite. I love that. I love that you saw it 3 times, and I love the fact that the Meg 2 is an actual thing.
I'm so confused as to how and why, but at the same time, I'm all for it. As long as Jason Statham's back.
Well, of course he will. He's Mr. Paycheck.
Yeah. He's my dude, man.
Yeah.
I like to see him be cool. Ken Jeong and Kiersey Clemons have joined the voice cast for the theatrical Scooby-Doo animated film. Weren't we just talking about like them doing something with Scooby-Doo and they didn't use that one voice actor or something?
Yeah.
So here we are. They're making another one.
I'm not on board.
No.
I'm like, whatever.
I don't understand how Scooby-Doo is still like a thing that's that big.
Here's the thing. I think that if this version, this iteration, how's that for a grown-up word? If this iteration is going to be anything worthwhile at any level, then I want to see a totally fresh start. I want to see like a reimagined Scooby-Doo.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to see the mystery van. I mean, I do, but I want it to be totally different. I don't want to see the cartoon that we watched, you know, back in the day brought to life.
I don't want to see the same costumes, the same.
Right.
Yeah. I hear what you're saying there. Like, make it current and different, but not completely different.
Is there an audience for this? Like, are there people walking around going, boy, I wish there was going to be a theatrical animated Scooby-Doo?
Well, I mean, I guess you can always market Scooby-Doo to kids, but it's at the same time, like, if they take a break from marketing it to kids, how many kids are going to know about it?
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel like it's, I don't know. It's not like Peanuts.
So let me contradict myself for a second. Counter my own argument.
Oh, okay. Uh-oh.
When I first read that they were making Chipmunks movies, right? I thought that was the stupidest thing ever. And I'm not saying they're great movies, but I will say they brought people. I mean, people came like crazy to see this movie. You know, all of the, I think there have been 3 Chipmunks movies, and there may have been more, but I know there was 3, and they were all huge hits, at least at Penn Cinema.
Yeah.
And so I felt kind of stupid because the first time I saw it on the schedule, I thought, oh, this is dumb. This is a waste of time. And then they were great. First of all, they were great. And second of all, they did really well in the box office. So if they can bring Scooby-Doo and deal with it the same way they dealt with Chipmunks and sort of, you know, really be good, then great. You know,
right.
But my first reaction is like, this is lame.
Yeah. Yeah. But along those lines, Paramount's making a live-action Mighty Mouse with the screenwriter from The Meg.
Now, this, on the other hand, I'm completely on board with because I've been looking for a Mighty Mouse for years.
For years.
Yeah, because I was into Mighty Mouse
as
a kid, of course.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I think this is overdue.
Yeah, I mean, it's so obscure at this point. Like, the revival feels right. Unlike something like Scooby-Doo, which has been played out over and over
again. Am I going to be one of those people who knows Mighty Mouse and other people are going to be like, oh, there was a cartoon back in the day? Like, I'll be that guy.
Yeah. Well, we'll be that guy. Cause
for
I
once in my
too.
Life.
Yeah. Yeah. I bet if we went downstairs, like most of your staff down there wouldn't know who Mighty Mouse was.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
And here he comes to save the day. It's like Mighty Mouse and Underdog.
What about Josie and the Pussycats? They're all from that same era.
Well, they might know Josie because of the new Archie show.
Okay, maybe.
Because I think I think Josie's on that.
Yeah. I hope that the Mighty Mouse, this thing that we're talking about, includes under... I mean, don't they have to go hand in hand?
I thought they were part of the same, like...
Yeah.
Group, right?
Yeah. I think so. Family.
Yeah. What I find interesting is that it's live action slash animations, you know, Space Jam style.
You just had to bring up Space Jam.
Can't go an episode.
Can't go through one episode without mentioning Space Jam.
Or Roger Rabbit, whatever the more famous one is. But yeah, I think that's kind of interesting that they would not just make it all anamorphic, is that what they call it? Yeah. They would just all be animals.
Right.
So that's pretty cool.
And the screenwriter from The Meg is doing the writing, so that's great.
Which, even though there's not a real connection, now I hope that Jason Statham is part of Mighty Mouse.
that would be brilliant.
That'd be so great. If he was Mighty Mouse, even... Oh, man. All right.
I want to find a reason to use the word scribe.
like in general or specifically in a certain
on the
scenario.
Podcast
okay
when next time we talk about a screenwriter I'm gonna say they're bringing in scribe so and so, but I don't know any scribes.
well why don't you take this this right here, you've got you could kind of say scribe on the bottom one.
The Tomb Raider sequel is getting a new scribe, but the same Laura. I don't know what any of that means, and I really could care less. Am I missing something on Tomb Raider? Like, why are we talking about this?
Well, the first movie didn't perform very well.
Right.
And, the thing is, people are like, whoa, they're making a sequel. And not only they're not just rebooting it, they're making a sequel with the same girl playing Lara Croft again.
You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of the stinger at the end of Hellboy.
But the current Hellboy?
Yeah. Hellboy 2 has a stinger at the end of the first set of credits, mm-hmm. a la Marvel. Mm-hmm. And it's like kind of depressing because it's like, so they made this movie thinking that there would be a third. Oh no, mon frère. Play again. Thanks for coming. Play again.
Yeah. And well, when I read this, the first thing that came to my mind was, didn't they make two with a new girl? And then I guess I was totally wrong.
I wonder, boy, this is the episode of contradictions, because now I'm going to contradict myself for the second time. We're only into it a couple minutes.
Oh,
I'm
boy.
Already contradicting myself. I feel like I need to go watch Tomb Raider and like give this franchise a better chance. Because I didn't see the new one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's okay. The thing is...
okay.
The thing is, all right, it's almost the same story as the rebooted game, which is so good. Even if you just watch somebody like play it to the first like 15 minutes of it, is so beat on beat for this movie, but it does it so well. Like I've shown that to people, and they were like, this isn't a movie. Like, I want to watch this. Right. And then they made the movie, but it kind of got off... It went off course.
Yeah.
I didn't really... The girl who plays Lara Croft looks like the version of her in the newest video games, but I didn't like her acting.
So can I go off script here for a minute?
Yeah.
Change topics? Just real quick. I'm not trying to turn this into a video game podcast, but can you jog my memory? Was there a video game in the 80s called Tutankhamun? It was like super basic. You probably weren't even...
I don't know it.
All right, maybe somebody wants to let me know. podcast@penncinema.com. I have a very vague memory. I want to say like 82, 84, like pre-Pac-Man.
Okay.
That there was a...
Pre-Pac-Man.
I'm saying this is one of the first like...
It was like Pong, Tutankhamun.
No, I'm saying this game was not even at home.
Okay.
This was before we had stuff at home. This was like
the
at the drugstore where they sold the dirty magazines where I waited for my bus in Brooklyn. There was a game in there. And I'm pretty sure it's called Tutankhamun. And I would alternate between staring at the magazine rack and playing Tutankhamun. Waiting for the B-41. When the B-41 came, I showed him my bus pass and went home. But I loved this game. And Tomb Raider always reminds me of that game. I'm sure, I know that there's no connection. I'm not trying to make a connection. But I'm saying as long as we're sitting here talking about Tomb Raider, I think there was also a game... A video game that never really stuck, never made it into the big time, but I'm pretty sure there was, And I would really appreciate it if somebody in their 40s who played video games in the early 80s would let me know, podcast at Penn Cinema, if there was such a thing. So, or am I crazy?
So what you're saying is Tomb Raider ripped off Tutankhamun.
That's what I'm saying.
Here and now. That's hands down.
That's what I'm saying, baby.
Start the lawsuit.
That's it. Witness number one, Penn Ketchum.
I was looking at dirty magazines. When I played this game. All right. So this big news goes right into from news to trailers to news to trailers.
Yeah. I think this is one of those times where the new trailer itself counts as news.
Yeah.
And did you have the same experience? Did your phone blow up? Like everywhere I went and everybody who I saw, hey, Penn, how you doing? Did you see there's a new Star Wars trailer?
Yeah, it did. I have to say you were the first one to alert me. But then like as soon as I read the email you sent me, it was like boom, 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 boom. Everywhere I looked, it was everywhere. And I was at lunch when it came out. And when I got back to my desk, I was like, whoa. Things just got crazy.
Did you have to go home?
It was like, I need to be excused.
I need to be excused.
It's too much for my fragile self.
I like, I think it was our friend Michael who commented on Facebook that he was with you on the Avengers wager until he saw the Star Wars trailer.
Yeah, well, I think it was Joel, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now I'm not quite so sure.
I don't know.
Okay, so Star Wars Celebration was this week.
Yes.
Lots of news, not a lot of movie news except for this big one.
Yeah.
They dropped the trailer.
Yeah.
Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker.
Love it.
And then they dropped a trailer, teaser trailer. So there's more to come. First time I watched this trailer, legit chills.
Mm-hmm.
I got to say, of these movies, this is the first time Rey has looked cool to me.
Mm.
Like, the other time she was just, like, she's always been a cool character, but, like, she didn't, like, Luke looked cool, and, like, you know, other characters look cool, but she just didn't, like, she just didn't seem, like, a cool.
Hmm.
Like, but they changed her costume, and she looks like a warrior now. Like,
she's gonna kick some ass.
Yeah. And I noticed, you can nitpick it to hell, but, like, I think her lightsaber's white, which is, like, it's a big Star Wars thing. So much speculation to get into here. They confirmed the laughter at the end is the Emperor. J.J. Abrams confirmed that. So,
can I ask a dumb question?
Yeah.
And I'm going to reveal what an idiot I am.
Uh-huh.
Is that the Death Star? Is that the remains of the Death Star at the... Okay, so it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
What business do they have to do? Like, I got to know. Like, what are we doing? Why are we...
And they're all together.
I love it because that ties it all the way back to 1977.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And then I'm just, I don't even know, man. It's like talking about it now, I'm getting more excited. This has been an emotional roller coaster.
Right. It's been a big week.
Yeah. Talking about this right now, like.
We had the Secret Life of Pets 2 trailer drop, Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Lion King.
Yeah. Which one is which? Here's the thing, because like, I watched, of course, this trailer several times, and the first couple times I was like hyped, and then I talked to some people about some stuff, and then every time I watched it, the less hype I became, the more cynical I became.
Huh.
Like, I don't know, like I don't know if I want any more Star Wars. Like, I'm really excited that this is like they're taking a hiatus after this, they said, for a while, movie wise, but it's like you start, the more you watch it, the more you see the beats that they've like hit home for these last, especially these last three. You've got in the trailer, you've got the legend character laughing for some reason. You got the Millennium Falcon going fast and flying through stuff. Ray jumping
what,
around.
What do you want? It slow?
Yeah, I wanted some slow maneuvers. Everyone, like someone's not dead or something like that. It's kind of like no one stays dead. Red Letter Media had a great video they put out, and they highlighted, like, I don't know, 25 or some just random deaths in Star Wars, and then after each one, they were like, no one's ever really gone.
Wait a minute. Really stop the presses. Stop. We got to put this whole episode on pause, because you are out of your mind. You are so ridiculous. I can't even handle it. Because can we just talk about the entire world is waiting to see which of the Avengers is going to be brought back from life. We have an entire franchise that was supposedly dead and killed off in the snap at the end of the Infinity War or whatever. You know, and now here you are whining, you know, because Luke isn't dead or Yoda came back or whatever, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi. It's, I mean, that's part of the whole story. You know, is it life through death? You know, it's part of the whole mythology of Star Wars. Yeah. And for you to suddenly get to episode 9 and all of a sudden I got a problem with it. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard in my life. That's like somebody saying they saw the Meg 3 times. Where do you get off? This is madness.
I'm a horrible, horrible person. What right do I have to talk bad about Star Wars?
Well, you can talk bad about Star Wars all you want. My problem is that your chief complaint with Star Wars is what the entire Avengers franchise is based on at this current point in time. They killed off an entire cast. Yeah. And then we all sat, cooled our jets for 6 months, and now they're going to bring them, half of them or most of them, back to life.
Avengers did it first, man.
Okay. Well, Avengers did it first. Did they, though? I believe in 1977 I sat in a dark movie theater and watched Obi-Wan Kenobi come back to life after I had seen him killed by Darth Vader. So, Avengers, come on.
I don't know, man.
Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who are you talking to here, David?
I don't know. I've been turned astray. I need to come home. Gotta watch this trailer again.
I just can't believe he said that. We need to take a commercial break so we can gather ourselves. So what? So are we going to talk about the trailer now?
Okay. So let's talk about this trailer. What do you think of this?
Now that David hates Star Wars.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about Star Wars ever again. Please. So on the other hand, Penn, what did you think of this trailer?
Well, being the resident easy critic in the room, I loved it. I thought it was great. It gave me chills. I love the Death Star being in it. I have to admit, because I don't have the keen eye that you do, I didn't really pick up on any of the details related to Rey. But I mean, I've been a big fan of hers ever since she was introduced, and I think she's awesome. She looked awesome. Strong female lead is always a good idea. Mm-hmm. I thought it was great.
That flip over that TIE fighter thing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so cool. And
but why was she the? All right. So now it's my turn to nitpick with something equally ridiculous. When she flipped over the TIE fighter, am I remembering that correctly? Did she set out running away from it?
Yeah.
Why? Like, if a pickup truck was running at me, and I was about to jump over it, I would try to run towards it to pick up steam so that I had my momentum carrying me in the opposite direction that the pickup truck was driving, so that the pickup truck would pass me faster and I would land on the other side safely. If she was trying to jump over that thing, shouldn't she have been running towards it? Or am I just being an idiot?
Well, let me put my professor hat on.
Yes, Professor Moulton, please explain.
Well, you see, if the TIE fighter is traveling...
If a train leaves the station at 4 o'clock...
If the TIE fighter is traveling towards her, and then she runs away from it, there's less inertia if she grabs onto it, which I think she'll probably onto it.
So she was trying to grab onto it, not jump over it.
Yeah. That's my hypothesis.
Based
on my keen, educated knowledge.
Last week you were the acclaimed David Walton. And now he's professor.
Professor.
Yes,
professor,
I like that. Acclaimed. Both of which suit you very well. The acclaimed Professor Walton. No, that makes good sense. That answers my question.
Could just look cool, too. Who knows?
I gotta know.
I know. Well, if only there were 8 months of time to nitpick and pull this apart.
I don't think I can wait.
It's like when I first watched, so many questions, and I was like, nah, we got time.
Nah.
Like, this is gonna get torn apart.
Because there's another movie that comes out before then, right?
A Star Wars movie?
An Avengers movie.
Oh, well, yeah, Avengers. That means 2 weeks
focus
away.
Focus on that.
I mean, if if we can.
All right. So shall we tear ourselves away from this ridiculousness?
I think people are aware Star Wars is a thing.
Star Wars is a thing. It's really exciting, and I think that our wager, you know, this sort of like brings it back into a little bit of contrast, a little stark relief here, because we're so caught up in Avengers, everybody laughed at the prospect of Star Wars competing.
And then here
you know,
we go.
And now the reaction with this, especially the fact that they're, you know, tying, making it, really emphasizing that this is the end of the Skywalker films.
Right.
You know, they're not saying it's the end of Star Wars, but they're saying it's the end of the Skywalker.
Even though they contradict it with the title.
Right. That is a weird way to say the end. It's called The Rise.
Yeah.
I'll give you that. That's weird.
So, okay. Well, moving on. Other trailers this
week. Wait, should we tell our listeners about your t-shirt that you're wearing? Because it's not a... They can't see for themselves.
No, that's true. I am wearing a... I'm not wearing any shirts today.
And that was the day the podcast got weird. Yeah. It was going great.
Until David showed up without a
Episode
shirt on.
Episode 12. I just wanted to point out that you're wearing a Star Wars shirt.
I am. Yeah. Original trilogy Star Wars.
There you go.
Yeah. So.
OT.
There we go. Gotta get original.
All right. So there was some other news in the trailer world. There were some really... I didn't think any of these trailers were bad. I thought they were all like really good. It was a good week for people who like trailers. It was good stuff.
I agree. Every single one of these was kind of like, all right, like this looks interesting. Even like for instance, Life of Pets 2, which isn't really like up my alley,
right.
But like the trailer was funny. Like I thought it was cool.
So the Secret Life of Pets 2. I think this was the first legit trailer. I think there was a teaser, or is this the second legit trailer?
I think it's the first. Okay, so let me get straight. What was the premise?
I watched the one that was all about inner hero. You have everyone has their inner hero, and they show the lead dog out at the farm getting the pep talk.
We watched two different trailers.
Oh,
apparently, and this is something I kind of picked up on. I just like was briefly rewatching this afternoon. I think they put up several trailers, like for different characters. The one I watched was the dog. The lady takes the dog, the main character dog, on a walk, and then takes him to the vet. And all the like pets at the vet are talking to each other, and like it's kind of like a horror thing, mocking like a horror thing. I thought it was funny.
So in the theaters, the movie studios sometimes send us character posters.
Yeah.
And the idea is we're supposed to put up four of their posters, and each poster has a different character on it. And what you're saying is that there are character trailers. That's pretty
neat. Yeah. Yeah. So I think there's several out there. Sounds like we both saw different ones and we both liked them. So
no, I think this movie, it's a kid's movie. It's whatever,
But
I think I'm on board. I think it looked great. I really enjoyed the trailer. Speaking of kids' movies, Addams Family.
Yeah. We kind of chuckled at this last week.
We did.
And here I thought we were not going to hear about it for like ever.
Right.
But all of a sudden, here's this trailer for the Addams Family.
Pretty much as soon as you walked out of the building,
right.
I sat down at my desk and there was a new trailer.
It was crazy. And pretty funny. I was surprised. I was like, okay, like I'm on board. Like I like the jokes. I thought it didn't seem too hokey. I wouldn't have known we needed or wanted one, but it seems to work.
I'm excited. I can't wait.
Yeah.
I loved the trailer. I mean, it's just a teaser trailer, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I got really excited for it. And I love the Addams Family. I mean, even going back to the old New Yorker cartoons, the Addams Family cartoons.
Yeah.
And I've always sort of thought that was a fun concept. And I think it's going to be great. I thought the trailer was great.
It'll be interesting to see what they're like with more pop culture reference.
Right.
Because like, the trailer has a reference to It, and I was like, I would not have expected that, but it was pretty cool.
Right.
Along the lines of continuing in kid and family friendly, The Lion King got its first legit story trailer, not just the teasers with the, Spenya!
Did you just do that? Did you just sing The Lion King?
That was a pre-recorded Elton John clip. I got chills. I mean, I love The Lion King, and it's like you know, frame by frame, but like these animals, some of them look so real. Like,
yeah.
Like, particularly Scar. There's a scene where Scar, he looks really lanky, and which I think is really great. He doesn't look too beefy or anything, and he's walking with the hyenas behind him, and it was just this little notion of like his, there were flies in his ear flicks, like the flies, and the way that it moved felt so realistic. I was like, whoa, this is crazy. Like, I want to see this now.
These guys are really pushing the boundaries of animation.
Yeah.
I mean, it's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's The Lion King, totally on board. Last week, I teased you with a beg about the Star Trek documentary called What We Left Behind, Looking Back at Star Trek Deep Space Nine. And we found after recording that you guys are going to have it.
Yep.
And then I think within a day or two, they dropped a trailer.
May 13th.
Yeah. And I was looking forward to this just on the premise of what the documentary was about. And then I watched the trailer and I was like, okay, it even looks good. Like, it's not just my own interest. I thought you're going to disagree. But
No.
But I thought I was surprised.
Here's the thing. All right. I think you know. Mm. I hope you're not disappointed, but not a huge Star Trek guy.
Yeah.
Like, I think we talked about, I like the Star Trek, the new ones that J.J. Abrams did. And I think
that we can remember J.J. Abrams did.
Right. but I don't have the, I'm not a legit, you know, old Star Trek guy.
Right.
So we'll just put that out there. So I watched his trailer and I thought to myself, oh, that's really cool. That looked like a lot of fun, looked fascinating. And I'm going to watch it when it gets here in May. Great. The face I was making at you when you were talking is, I wonder, like, if this was What We Left Behind, looking back at Star Wars Episode 4.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I would watch it because I love Episode 4 so much. It has such a special place in my heart. I would not want to know what was going on behind the scenes, the bickering, the crying, the fighting. Have you ever heard the expression, you never want to meet your hero? Right, because then the guy turns, or the woman turns out to be awful. I got a little flavor. Like, for me, these aren't my heroes. I don't really have any emotional investment in it. So, like, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be really interesting. But if I was, like, a huge Star Trek fan, I might be anxious about this.
Well, they do hint at drama.
Yeah. They don't hint at it. I think it's right there.
Yeah. What I think I find interesting, because trying to see these guys, you know, like, in public or at a panel or whatever, you never have the whole crew, and certain people are really, like, eclectic and they don't do anything with Star Trek anymore. And I kind of find that very interesting now that it's been so long. If it would be the same thing, but, like, looking at, like, Star Trek Discovery, I'd be like, I mean, I'm not connected with these characters. But Deep Space Nine is however many years old now, and it's like, you either love it or you don't, kind of thing. And if you do, like, you invested 7 seasons into these characters.
Right.
And I feel like the characters of at least old school Star Trek had this way of, like, becoming, maybe I just don't feel this way about TV anymore, but, like, you really see yourself in certain characters.
Sure, yeah.
And then you really connect with them through an entire journey or whatever iteration of it they come out of. And I really feel like, I think, a lot of Star Trek, you have that with, and it's interesting to see how these people portrayed this person you connected with, and they aren't that way in real life, kind of thing. Anyway,
it's interesting.
I'm down.
I'm on board too, and I think what we can both 100% agree on is this is going to be really interesting.
Yeah,
it's going to be really worth. Like, people are going to want it. It's just interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's a really interesting, unique, might be a word, a unique look.
Right. Now, will it play at all theaters or just Lititz?
This will play in Lititz and Wilmington.
Okay, cool. Cool. And then the last one on our list here is Anna, trailer 1.
It's not quite our last one.
Is it? Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
But close. Anna, trailer 1, was one of my favorite. I mean, obviously Star Wars is a whole different thing.
Mm-hmm.
That almost doesn't count.
Right.
You know, but just in the realm of normal trailers, this was the best trailer. And if you're listening to this podcast, you want to go to Google search. And type Anna, A-N-N-A, trailer 1, and watch this trailer. This is amazing. Like, I was watching the the beginning of the trailer has her going into this fancy restaurant and blowing the place up, like shooting and fighting and bubble, all this stuff, and killing people with broken dinner plates, you know.
It's like, almost like the whole scene, really.
It is almost the whole scene, and it's amazing. And I was watching it, and I thought to myself, like, oh, that's kind of cool. Like, it piqued my interest, and I was like, oh, this is fun, and see where this movie goes. And then they show her being interviewed by the detective, who clearly, because she's on the outdoor security camera shows her walking into the place, and the detective clearly, the thought has never crossed his mind that this young lady, you know, could have done all the damage. And he's interviewing her as a witness, with no suspicion that she's the one who just did all this. And she says to him, well, don't you have inside cameras? And he says the tapes were all erased. And that's when I got chills, and I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah. And I think they're going to get into, because I think her character is like a master master of disguise. And I think they're going to get into how that plays into her psychologically. Like, that's what I kind of got from the trailer, with her like looking in the mirror being like, oh, how are you, like with her new outfit on or whatever. It could be could be amazing. It's I forget the name of Luke whatever the guy, he does femme fatales like really, really well. And that's what he's really known for.
I think this movie looks hot. I can't wait.
It's going to blow up, I'm sure.
I love a good spy movie.
I think it's going to be... at first I got feelings of, like, Atomic Blonde, which I never actually saw. But I feel like this will do better than Atomic Blonde.
Atomic Blonde is one of my all-time favorite movies.
Is it?
Yeah, I love it.
I've heard that it's very good.
It's so good.
I just didn't get a chance to see it when it was out. So, last one.
The last one, I think, is actually disqualified.
Yeah, I don't know. It had...
I will review the trailer just so that we're not jerks to our listeners. But the movie is The Professor, starring Johnny Depp, and the trailer looks great. And then when I Google it and try to find a release date, I can't find anything, and I see that the company credits include a company called DirecTV.
Yeah, I saw that at the beginning, but I wasn't sure because it also had, I think, Saban at the beginning.
Right.
And they just throw stuff out all over the place.
So this trailer is whatever. And I don't think the movie looks great.
No.
But it looks amusing. And I love it because there's a great, and I have to believe that it's like tongue in cheek. It's great, like first world problems, where Johnny Depp like drops his champagne glass and because he's like getting into it with his wife. But then the stuffy old guy over here goes, damn it, Richard, that's Crystal. I'm going to start saying that. Like, every time somebody does something stupid, I'm going to say, damn it, Richard, that's Crystal.
There were parts of this trailer that I thought like were endearing and felt were funny. I just kept thinking, this was his Robin Williams in Dead Poets Society movie.
No, I don't think it's as good as Dead Poets
Society. Well, no. But, like, I had that feeling.
Like a cheap version of Dead Poets Society. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was that movie, Nicolas Cage, Leaving Las Vegas?
Okay.
This to me looked like a not as good version of that.
Yeah, and I also was thinking, I was like, how mighty the mighty have fallen, because is Johnny Depp is the main character, and like again, Saban, DirecTV, it's like who's putting this movie out? Like,
it's a paycheck. It's a paycheck movie for Depp.
Yeah,
you know, Johnny Depp. And to me, this movie, here's what I think about this movie. Someday I'm going to be scrolling through Netflix, or Prime, or wherever. And I'm going to be like, oh, here's that movie we talked about with Johnny Depp. And I'll watch it. And I'll probably like it. And it'll be great.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm not going to make time out of my day to go to a movie theater to watch it. Like, it probably not going to be in any movie theaters.
Right.
And like it. So it gets to me, it gets a big fat whatever. But someday when I'm bored and there's nothing else that I feel like watching, I'll probably watch it.
You say that, but I remember a story where.
You're wrong.
You almost watched Greta because you forgot we watched and reviewed that movie. And we're like, oh, maybe I should watch this movie.
I'm turning into my brother. That's the problem. Oh, my God.
All right. Well, let's move on to, like, what was the weekend like in the theaters, and what do we have coming up for next weekend?
Yeah, so at Penn Cinema in Lititz and Huntington Valley. What's up, Huntington Valley?
What's up?
And of course, Wilmington. The news was Shazam, and then Little beat out Hellboy, which, you know, I know you're not a huge sports guy.
What?
Understatement of the week. But a lot of times, like, two teams play each other and one team wins, and the announcer says, do you think this means more about the team that lost, or is it like the team that won was really great, or the team that lost really sucked? And so to me, I asked myself the same question. I don't think Little beating Hellboy, I think that's more of a reflection on Hellboy being awful than Little being great. And Shazam running away with the number one spot tells you everything you need to know.
I totally agree with you there. I didn't even go see Hellboy. And I love Hellboy, and I'm just I don't even know if I want to.
Well, did you read the review that we read that said it was the worst comic book movie ever made?
I didn't read. I just looked at headlines, and they were all very, very bad. And then I saw Mike Mignola is not listening to negative feedback to the, and I was like, well, that just
that's dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb.
That's just short-sighted.
Yeah, I don't know what to think.
There was another big surprise, and again, you know, it's my own ignorance that I was surprised, but this movie After, based on a remarkably popular best-selling teen, I think, sort of romance paperback type of book, that's probably incredibly ill-informed, and I don't mean any disrespect when I say that, but I think it's a, you know, sort of a popular romance novel type of book. And in Lititz, not so in Huntington Valley or Wilmington, but in Lititz, After was the number two movie.
Really?
Beating Hellboy and Little.
I don't know if I know anything about this movie.
Well, here's what I know about it. I put it in Theater 8, right? Down at the end of the hall, a little theater. It's a nice, I like that theater. I think I've told you before, all of our auditoriums have personalities, and we'll talk more about that when we interview, when Abby and the whole gang sort of interview me, interviews me, and we talk about the personality of all the auditoriums. I'll get into that a little bit more, but in Theater 8, it's a very nice theater, but it's little. Mm-hmm. And so I put After down there, and I was scrolling around a couple days before it opened, and I suddenly noticed it had like 24 pre-sold tickets for Thursday night through the opening show, which is pretty good for a, you know, smaller movie. And so I added shows all over the place, and sure enough, the more shows I added, the more tickets were sold, and this movie ended up being a big surprise hit. So that was the surprise of the weekend. Next week we have A Quiet Week. Two movies that are coming out for Easter weekend. You have the faith-based movie Breakthrough, opens on Wednesday. Like, in other words, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, it opens tomorrow. And Penguins, the Disney sort of Earth Day annual feature. They're both trying to get open a little bit ahead of time. And then we have the horror movie La Llorona. You got to roll the R when you say La Llorona.
La Llorona.
That's a horror movie, opens Thursday night, gets IMAX screens.
Really?
Yep.
You think it's going to be big?
No.
Really?
No. I think it's a middle of the, it's never intended to be big. I mean, it's a middle of the road movie from the get-go. I bet you it opens to 20 million or something like that. I think it'll do well, and there's a reason they're opening it a week before Avengers. You know, nobody else was, you know, sort of interested in getting squashed in week two. But a horror movie sort of stands on its own, and if there's a movie you want to see that's playing at Penn Cinema or wherever you see movies, you should make sure to see it, because when Avengers opens, there's going to be like one screen left, and all the remaining 13 other titles are going to get squeezed into that one screen. So there's going to be a lot of movies leaving the theater here on April 25th. But yeah, so that's what's going on next week. I think the big news is La Llorona. I think Shazam will stay the number one movie. La Llorona will be number two, and it'll stay that way until Endgame.
This Penguins movie has been kind of under the radar, too.
Well, they're always, it's weird because they're always under the radar. And, like, so, for example, it's getting an IMAX. It's getting matinees in IMAX. But IMAX didn't decide that. We didn't get permission to put tickets on sale until, like, the last minute.
Oh.
Which is weird. Like, why would you invest all that money and all that effort and then not commit to what you're doing? But to be completely candid with you, the only reason why we committed to this movie months ago, and the only reason why we committed to it was two reasons. First of all, it's 85 minutes long, so we can stick it wherever we need to. And I had a group that wanted, you know, pre-sales, wanted to book an event. So we were like, all right, yeah, we'll get the movie.
Cool.
Well, so that's what's happening, and that's what's coming up.
All right. Well, This week we're continuing the second half of our Newish Kids on the Block. Newish Kids on the Block segment here with Abby and Jonah.
Jonah, one of the youngest.
Yeah, that's
we've
true.
Ever had. You remember him.
Started working before his 15th birthday.
What's
was that
up?
It?
Yeah, I believe so. Definitely younger than his brothers.
Fame to take home. This time they'll be interviewing Penn and talking about movie business.
What
and
could possibly go wrong?
So many things. So many things could go wrong. So we're gonna slice that in here, and we'll see you on the other side.
Okay, so here we are with part two of the Outstanding PC Employees interviews. We're here again with Abby Finkel and Jonah Gibson. And last week, they were kind enough to sit with me and answer some questions. And then a couple minutes later, I returned the favor. So we hopped in our hot tub time machine and got the DeLorean up to 88 and 1.21 gigawatts. And here we are. So I'll turn the interview over to you.
Okay. So get ready.
I'm ready.
All right. Some of these are funny, okay?
Okay.
I've asked multiple employees and
managers,
a.k.a. Oh, Joel.
I think you'll be able to tell which one of us
his
is.
Initials rhyme yeah. with Joel.
I don't want to say Joel's name, but we asked somebody here.
Okay.
How is it possible that someone can leave their car keys here?
How is it possible that someone can leave their car keys here? Which is a funny, it's funny because it's true, as
yeah.
you guys know. How do people, we always wonder that, they leave car keys, they leave wallets.
Phones.
Like how do you,
phones? Yeah.
How do you get, like where you're going? I mean, I've left stuff here. I've like sat in a theater and put my phone in a cup holder and watched a movie and then stood up and walked away. And then like 20 minutes later, I'm like, oh, where's my phone? And I go running back to the theater and grab it. But the car keys thing is a fascinating. You have to figure.
They hotwired their
car. I guess they're not driving, but they brought their keys.
Either that or my. I have a theory that makes a lot of sense now, but wouldn't have applied 10 years ago. And my theory now is like, my wife and I both could have a set of car keys in our pockets. And if you drive the kind of car where you don't push the key in the thing anymore, and as long as somebody has a set, has the fob, right?
That's fine.
Then you just press the button, you drive home, and the next day you're like, where's my keys? I don't know. You had them yesterday. So, yeah, I don't have a
car. I guess.
I think for me it's kind of nice that people forget that stuff because now if I come to see a movie – right when I stand up, I like check everything. Like I know whoever's the usher is right now is gonna find my stuff. So
for sure.
So it's kind of nice actually, if you think about it.
Yeah,
it's good stuff.
The next question is: who is the longest standing employee?
It's like a quiz show.
I do.
I mean, obviously, technically speaking, I'm the longest.
Okay.
Because I started here a couple months before we opened our doors, but the two people who come to mind, there are two. We might want to check the archives after that. We'll edit this in or post it on our incredibly hip Facebook page. But I believe we have two remaining. So myself and Bob Tucci are the two members of management that started as employees back in 06. And then there were two other guys. One of them is now the director of operations, Drew Schaefer. Mm-hmm. Started here in the box office when he was but a lad, and just a pup. But he worked box office a lot, and he was really good. And we noticed him right away opening weekend that he was one of the best kids. And the thing I've told you a million times about Drew that's always funny, and if he's listening right now, he knows exactly what I'm going to say, is that he always waited until he was out of quarters to call a manager to tell them that he needed change, which sounds, if you don't work here, it sounds like no big deal. But the problem is then he gets a customer and he needs quarters. And then, like, he or she is, like, waiting while the manager sprints back.
Yeah.
But, no, so Drew Schaefer was one of the original longest standing. And the other still standing original is a guy named Chris Schaefer, who is lovingly known around here as the captain. Mm. He's working here today, as a matter of fact, as we record. I was just downstairs chatting with him. So one of our employees, Sammy, just recently announced that she's going to college in Florida. Mm-hmm. And
oh, yeah, I bet he was all for that. I can just see him now. He's getting excited.
I happened to be standing next to him when she walked by, and I said, hey, Sammy, congratulations. You're going to college in Florida, right? And she said, yeah. And the captain just lost his mind because he was like, "You're going to college at Disney World? You're going to be drinking Diet Coke? Cherry Coke, I mean."
I remember the one time the one usher, Nick, made the mistake of saying that his girlfriend was at an amusement park. And Captain went on to say every single statistic about that amusement park and all the different rides. And
there's never a shortage of conversation with the captain.
Oh, my goodness.
He's so obsessed with Cherry Coke.
I love
it. The one time I was, like, we were working, like, it was kind of slow. And there's, like, the theory that Dr. Pepper is just, like, Cherry Coke.
Right.
So I got two of the cups, and I made him try it to see if he could figure out which one was the Cherry Coke. Oh, he did it.
He did it, yeah. 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 So the captain and Drew are our two longest standing employees. Two of our best, by the way. Yep.
All right, the next question, I don't know if you're allowed to answer.
Yeah. Dun, 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 dun.
You never got to ask this question.
But we got, working down there in concession stand, you always get people going, like, you're like, oh, water, like $4. And they're like, $4?
$4.
So, like, and, like, ticket prices went up, and people were like, yeah. So I think, like, I was just going to ask, how much do we actually get from the tickets?
Well,
roughly.
No, it's no, I can be completely transparent about this because it's different for every studio. So and people say, "Oh, so you negotiate the ticket sort of returns with the studios." And negotiate is a completely false word. The studio tells me what the terms are going to be, and I decide whether or not I want to play the movie. Actually, it doesn't usually work that way. I agree to play the movie, and then later they tell me what the terms are, and I pretend to accept them. I guess legally, technically, I could choose not to accept them, and then I just wouldn't play the movie, but that never happens. So what we budget, you know, so as a rule of thumb, you can figure 55%. 57-58% is probably more specific. So what that means is if you make $100 in movie tickets, you're sending $60 or $58 back to Hollywood. So that's how that works. And a lot of people ask me, how much does it cost to get, like, a movie? And it's every movie we play is based on a percentage of ticket sales. So if we don't sell any tickets, it doesn't cost me anything. And then if we sell a ton of tickets, we pay a lot back to. I've often said in public and in private that it's amazing how much money comes in the door of this building every day, and it's equally amazing how much money goes out the door every single day. It's an incredibly there's a lot of action happening. There's a lot to keep track of, and we have an incredible team up at Iron Valley. Shout out to Rebecca. What's up? and they keep us on the straight and narrow with that stuff. I think the phrase that she used, or I heard somebody say, we're living on the ragged edge. Like, so we run everything pretty carefully, but it's really expensive. And the so all of that stuff is called cost of goods, and the cost of goods continue to go up as gas prices go up. People who sell us, for example, soda, their charges for delivery, you know, they used to charge us $10, let's say, for an example, and now they charge us $50. You know, so it's all that kind of stuff that sort of continues to go into our pricing and stuff like that. So yeah, it's expensive, and it's a proposition, and that's one of the reasons why you guys have heard me talk about this before, about how when I talk to new staff, I always make a really big deal about how this is a really special experience. You know, you go to Turkey Hill every single day, so you can buy three sodas for $1. You know what I mean? Because they're doing millions of people a year are walking through that building. You're not going to Turkey Hill for the experience of buying the soda. You're going because you want to quick grab a soda. In the movie theaters, you're going because you want to get out of the house. You want to have a great, beautiful, fun experience. It's the same economics as you would at a live theater like the Fulton or at a ballpark like Lincoln Financial, stuff like that. So that's a little bit of the behind-the-scenes business sort of stuff that goes in. I'm always happy to talk about it. Sometimes people are shy to ask me about it, but it's a fascinating business. It's really, really interesting.
It's very interesting that you say that because I hear a lot of customers that are not too shy to talk to me about the prices.
Nobody. I'm sorry. Okay, very good point. So, people aren't shy to complain to me about the prices.
They ask you. They don't want to ask you.
They don't want. Nobody ever wants to sit down and sort of. I always say everything we do here. I'm not saying that we do everything right. because we certainly make mistakes. But everything we do here, we do for a certain reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
there's a reason behind it. There's a train of thought. And so I'm always happy to sit down and talk about those.
Okay, so what happens when a movie plays for a longer time?
So, great question, Abby.
Thank you.
It's really interesting because in the old days, almost every movie was held on what are called terms. So like on the first opening, so the concept is the more people come, the less percentage I need to make off of each ticket, right? So if I do, you know, 10,000 people and I only keep a dollar from each person, you know, I'm making $10,000 on that particular film. If I'm only doing, you know, 10 people, I need to keep the whole ticket price because, you know, the studios are kind of like your big brother who beats you up a lot, but it doesn't want anyone else to beat you up. Like I always say, the studios are trying to exact from me the exact amount of money that they can get from me without putting me out of business so that I'm here next year to play the sequel.
Mm.
And in the old days, it used to be that, so for example, on opening weekend, you're going to get tons of people. So often you would have to pay the studio 70% of your ticket price. And then on the second weekend, it would decline to 60%. And then if you held the movie like to your, by the time you got to your fourth week, you're only paying 35% because what the studio is trying to do is incentivize you to keep their movie in the building. And so we've always been good. We hold movies longer than an average movie theater. So we did really well with a lot of weeks at 35% film rent. Over the years, that has evolved. And nowadays, it's the opposite, where most titles come with you get two choices, either a fixed, what's called a fixed aggregate. So in other words, they say, no matter what the movie does, you're going to pay 56% or 62% or whatever the number is. So you can choose the aggregate or you can choose the scale. The scale is interesting because now you're talking about betting on a movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if the aggregate is 56% and you think the movie is going to make $30 million,
mm-hmm.
and then you look at a scale of percentages and you figure out, what did I say I thought the movie was going to make? $30 million. So if I think it's going to make $30 million and I look at the scale and the scale says if the movie makes more $30 million or more, it's 60%. You know, then in that case, you want to go with your first one because mm-hmm. now you're saving percentages. But the truth is, I don't spend too much time, unless I have a strong opinion about it, I don't spend too much time because they have actuaries, number crunchers, who I think have pretty much done the math and figured out exactly what the movie's going to do. And the difference might be a couple bucks, but it's not going to be in a meaningful way. So nowadays, you're choosing between the ag or the scale. And actually, the biggest movies, like the Disney movies and a lot of the DC movies and stuff like that, well, Disney movies are still on a scale, but a lot of times, some of the bigger movies, you just get an email that says, this is being released on this percent terms. And that's your – and then they write, please reply to confirm acceptance of these terms. You know, I'm like, okay. And then there are some studios. Sony is one of the sort of the biggest holdouts. That still do the decreasing terms. So Spider-Man, we had an opening weekend with 70%. As you know, we held Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse for many, many, many weeks, mostly just to keep David Moulton happy. He single-handedly propped up that whole franchise. But yeah, so we were paying 35% at the end there. But we typically will run a movie, you know, longer. Most theaters run it, you know, 4 weeks and out. We'll get 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 weeks.
Follow up on that.
Yeah.
You're like considered like individual, right?
Independent.
That's the word.
Yeah.
So like that means like you can play like different movies mm-hmm. that like other theaters wouldn't. Right.
Yep. Yes.
Okay.
So technically, so the answer, a lot of people ask me, so do you have to play, you know, these new movies? And the answer is no, I don't. But I usually choose to because typically the biggest movies are the ones that most people want to see. And what I've always said at all of our theaters, Lititz, Huntington Valley, Wilmington, what I've always said is that we are in the business of playing movies that people want to see. You know what I mean? So it doesn't really matter if I want to see it or not. If I think there's an audience out there, a great example of this was the movie Twilight. Remember that franchise?
Okay.
Right? So I got this email from this person. I forget who it was. And they said, hey, when do tickets go on sale for Twilight? And I was like, I never heard of this. I have no idea what you're talking about. And so I was like, I don't even know if we're going to get Twilight. And so I did like a little research and turned out, it's probably going to be a pretty wide release and you should probably play it. Well, then fast forward like 6 months later and, you know, the lobby's completely full and the screening sold out. And, you know, it goes on to be a huge franchise. I don't ever book movies based on what I want to see. Mm-hmm. The difference between an independent and a chain is that we do have extra flexibility so that we can book, we can sort of play the movies that we think our community really wants to see, and we also have that flexibility to put them in bigger theaters or in some rare cases we have passed on movies. Recently passed on a small one. It escapes me now which it is, but the chains. So, like for example, there's a Regal here in Lancaster, which they're a great team, and I have a lot of respect for them. But their booking decisions are made by a guy down in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. So he understands the Lancaster market only because he knows his theater. But he's not living here. He's not as tuned in. So I take a lot of or I try to take a lot of input from the general managers. Shout out to Tom and Brad and Drew, and get their input on what they think the theater is doing. So being an independent is a great another great example would be our ability to book smaller movies that we could sort of choose to take a chance on. So, for example, there's a great – Lancaster County has an incredible library system with some incredible librarians. Shout out to my buddy Penny. What's up? the whole system is run by some of my new friends who I just met recently, and we're teaming up to show a small movie called The Public, which is about the public library. So we'll show it in Theater One, you know, like whatever. Some people come, some whatever. Mm-hmm. But it'll be fun to sort of show it. And I know that there's a population that will want to come and see it. And it's so being an independent sometimes gives us the opportunity to play movies that contribute to our business success because they contribute to the brand, even if that particular movie isn't making a ton of money. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So people love Penn Cinema because they know that we show variety and that we respond to what our community wants to see. So sometimes, even if the movie isn't going to make necessarily a ton of money, I like to show it because it sort of continues to strengthen our brand so that when the time comes for a movie that's sort of universal, that everybody's coming to see, like Lion King, people feel good about Penn Cinema. They know that we're truly a part of the community and supportive of our community. So that, to me, is the best part of being independent.
That's a really good advantage to have.
Yeah.
All right, and then I have, what is your wildest memory from high school?
Or college.
Or college, whatever you want. Whatever you
feel
can
comfortable
remember.
Saying.
Whatever I can remember. Well, I don't know. Is my mom listening? Mom, this is when you turn it off. Oh, boy. I don't know about wildest, but the one that comes to mind is my very first Grateful Dead concert, which would be in the summer of 1988. And, you know, the best memories don't really, like, it's a little foggy as to how I ended up there, but I was in a field in Maine at the Oxford Plains Speedway, July 2nd.
Was it still at the concert? Or was that at, like...
No. This is the concert took place at the Oxford Plains Speedway in July 2nd and 3rd of 1988. And I rode up with some friends, and it was great because it was before the Grateful Dead scene had really turned crazy. I mean, it was always crazy, but in the late 80s, and early 90s, it got weird, and it started getting just weird. And then Jerry died and all that kind of stuff. But in 1988, it was still, like, the best of times,
okay. Right?
And on the ride home, we traded. Back then, you could barter. That's sort of something we do here at the theater. We barter a lot. And so we were short on what you would call money, per se. And so we're driving home from Maine on some turnpike, and we get to the exit to get off, and we realize that nobody has any money. to go through the toll booth, and this is before Easy Pass existed. So we're like on the side of the road, literally like going through the car trying to dig up all these quarters before we can drive through the toll booth. And I honestly don't remember if we got the quarters together and made it to pay the toll, or if we we might have just gunned it. I'm not totally sure. Oh. But that was back when I had really long hair. I had hair like as long as Abby's, right there.
Did yeah, you
I
would really?
Like
to see a
picture of that.
Yeah, do you have a picture?
Yeah, I can post it. Okay. Yeah. The reason why I'm not shy to post it is because thanks to my lovely wife, Amy, it's been posted before, so it won't be the first time the old me has taken a ride on Facebook. But yeah, no, so I've had, I don't know, I,
oh, yeah.
That's my favorite, or at least it's the one that sort of comes to mind.
I came up with another question.
Talk to me.
Sitting here.
Yes.
The theater numbers are like really interesting, I think. How did you come up with that? Like to do like 1 through 4 and 11 through 14 on the same side.
How do you think I came up with that?
Well, I mean,
are there some theories?
Was it the order that they were built?
I want to hear Abby's theory. You have a theory, I can tell.
Well, whenever I'm like telling people where to go, it just like makes sense in my head that like 1 through 4 is kind of like 11 through 14.
What's up? So, genius.
And the rest of them.
It's a mathematical genius. Well, here's a little fun fact, and I know that you know this, but you may have forgotten it.
Okay.
When we built the theater in 06, we were only 10 screens.
Right.
So we did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and viewers, listeners can't see, but I just, you know, showed that with my finger how that goes in a circle. And then back there where 12 and 13 are used to be a staircase. And we used to store, it used to be our, like, where we'd store concessions because the manager's office, what is now the manager's office, back then was the party room.
What? Can we make that again?
Yeah, we had birthday parties, and it was awful. Yeah, shout out to Jenny, who managed most of those. My kids had parties here. We even had some employees here who remember going to birthday parties. They were younger when the theater first opened. But, yeah, so that was a stairwell. And then so when we put the addition on, we knocked the stairwell down and built 11 through 14. And it was funny that you mentioned that because I can't tell you how many times. Like, there were multiple conversations because, I mean, conversations about Penn Cinema, like, people have them, and then when they see me, they want to have them conversation with me. So I end up having the same conversation, like, 20 times, right? Which is great. It's all good. But, like, at least 20 different times, I sat with different people and debated, like, should we redo the numbers, right? And so it would have been 1, 2, and then 3, 4, 5, 6, and then 7. But what we came down to, and I don't know. So I'm going to ask you a question.
Okay.
And I'll give you my answer first. The reason why I consistently voted against changing the numbers is because I feel as though all of our theaters, all of our auditoriums, have personalities to them, and I'm not going to take Theater 5 and just all of a sudden name it Theater 8.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I feel like that would be weird.
It would be super weird. And so do you feel the same way? Like, do you have
like
different
that.
Personalities? Like, 5 is our biggest, like, like high fancy
like
pants, you know, like, you know, like a celebrity theater. Theater 1 is like, has a nice, quaint, cozy little feel.
I think like 11 and 14 are like if a movie's on its way out, it's kind of
11 and 14 are like the middle child. They're forgotten, right?
Just go all the way down there.
9 is like
around.
The little, you know, nobody even remembers it's there.
I think of 10 as like just the place where we show all the old movies, like Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
Stuff like
so
that.
Do you know why we show all those in Theater 10?
Is it like the biggest or it's not the biggest?
Not the biggest.
Is it because it's the only door on the right side?
Ooh, no. That's a fascinating theory, though.
Is it something with the projector?
It's the place that I show very special movies because it's the only theater in the building that does not have a neighboring theater on either side of it.
Mm.
So, like, you know how you're in Theater 6 and you can hear, like, listen, we put a lot of energy into building really thick walls, mm-hmm. and we pretty much keep a lot of sound out from between the auditoriums.
Still hear it,
but you can still hear it.
Mm-hmm. If there's an explosion next door.
If there's an explosion, yeah. If Avengers is in Theater 5 and you're watching 5 feet apart in Theater 6, like that's gonna happen. So that's why I always put the classics, because like if this is your big chance to see Gone with the Wind on the big screen. And you've been looking forward to it for 3 weeks, or like Mamma Mia, or Grease, or whatever.
Or the operas.
And or the that's why we put the operas in there for sure. Not the opera goers ever complain about anything ever.
We love the opera.
We love you. So you looked like Abby. You had a story you wanted to tell about sound.
So the one time my family came here, okay, and like my grandparents were here, and my dad's like a history guy, you know. So they wanted to see.
Shout out to Rob. What's up? He's not just any history guy. He's the history guy.
They wanted to see. I forget. It was really a long time ago. I forget what movie it was, but it was like it was about like the Declaration of Independence. Mm. It wasn't like
National Treasure.
It wasn't National Treasure. No. It was like one of those like trying to be real kind of thing.
Lincoln, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
And then next door was like it might have been like Transformers, right. Like something like with a lot of explosions or whatever. And I remember we were in the other theater, and then my dad and my grandpa were in the other one watching this like history movie. They come out, and my grandma's like, "Wow, they did such a good job. Could really hear the explosions from the war in there." And I'm like, my dad's like, "I think that was the theater next to us."
That was David watching Transformers. I got a story for you.
Okay.
So you know how we have the church in Theater 5 on Sundays?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So years ago, this was before we used to have Victory Church, and before that we had the Crossings. And early on, Bob and I used to take turns every other Sunday, and we would come in early Sunday morning to open the door. And then this is back when I cleaned the lobby, or me and Bob took turns cleaning the lobby. And so you'd run the theater, this floor scrubber, and you'd clean the lobby and sweep, get the church set up. Well, I lost track a little bit. And I cleaned the lobby and got everything going. The church was in Theater 5 getting ready to do their thing. And I guess I just sort of forgot. And I went in Theater 4 and watched a movie. And I forget what it was, but it was loud, right? So afterwards, I forget exactly who it was. Somebody came up to me and was like, "So, yeah, how are you? Good. Okay, good." I'm like, "How was church?" And they're like, "Oh, it was good. Listen, I'm trying to give a sermon, you know, the whole place is like quiet, and all of a sudden there's car crashes and spaceships, and you got to watch that sound a little bit sometimes.
Next to the church.
Right. So, you got any other questions?
Do you have any, Jonah?
I got nothing.
You're fresh out. You don't want to ask me about my craziest college memory?
Oh, no, we've been through that.
It's enough stories to last a lifetime. All right, well, I guess then we'll just move in here to the next part of the podcast and get into our movie. Thank you both very much.
Yes, thanks.
2 weeks.
Yeah.
You spent working on this podcast. Brilliant. Do you miss your friends and family? But seriously, thank you very much. You're very well respected and appreciated for everything that you do at the theater. And also thank you very much for coming in and joining us on the podcast. This was
Thanks
a lot
for
of fun.
Us.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
All right. Welcome back. That was great. That was a lot of fun.
I'm terrified to think of... Listen, it was a different time. Like, I was 17 years old. Maine is the vacation state. Anything could happen in Maine.
What happens in Maine gets told later.
You got to love New England, man. Go Pats.
So let's get into listener feedback for this week. Just a couple things. One, our Facebook page blowing up. If you're not a fan, get over to the Penn Cinema Podcast Facebook page. It's more like conversation is going down.
You have to type the word "the."
Yeah.
Because there's a defunct page called Penn Cinema Podcast, but you want to look for the Penn Cinema Podcast.
Yeah.
And that's where the action's happening. All the cool kids are getting in on it.
We got the memes. We got the GIFs. We got people making fun of us.
What? I don't understand how that could happen.
Yeah, I know. One person was just like, my impersonation of the Penn Cinema Podcast, it was just the Ron Burgundy laughing.
I like Drew, who has announced,
oh,
I don't know if we're the platform to announce it, but I'll go ahead and echo it here. He has announced
a podcast during which he's going to report every week on the Penn Cinema podcast.
the talking Penn Cinema podcast.
Yeah, it's going to be like an infinity loop. We're going to start talking about his podcast.
These guys just talk about themselves nonstop. we spoke earlier how Joel, he wrote us a big email about how he was in on Avengers on our wager. And then the trailer dropped and he
came to his
back.
Senses. Is that the phrase you were looking for?
He said, we might have a problem. But the reason I really bring up this email is because famously, you bring up the photo of us that's behind my shoulder here,
yes.
Me and my Transformers outfit.
Yes, killer.
And he told you the story of how, he was my roommate at the time, and how he came home and I had a whiteboard with a schematic, and I said, we're making this tonight, and we spent the next 8 hours building the costume. Yeah.
I'm gonna post that picture on our the Penn Cinema Podcast Facebook page.
Definitely post it.
It's going
up. And here's one so Scott Gimbel wrote in about this, and this is something I heard about a long time ago.
Didn't he deny knowing us?
Yeah, he did. Specifically knowing you.
So,
So, whoever this guy
is. This mystery Gimbel.
apparently, for the Mighty Rich, they're now offering like straight-to-home viewing of theater movies. Or, hypothetically, this is a thing that might be.
You know what I loved about this article?
What's that?
It's not just any billionaire. You got to be like in New York or L.A.
Oh, yeah.
Like, so if you're a billionaire who happens to live in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania,
sorry,
and you want to see Avengers on opening night,
you're
what they would call SOL.
Get yourself to the theater, because that's the only way it's happening. I thought I remembered like Spielberg behind something like this a while back.
Yes, this idea came out a while back, and as far as I can tell, and I'm pretty ignorant on the topic, but from what I can tell, the difference, the biggest difference that I picked up on this is that the people who are behind it this time, first of all, come out of the studio business, so they know what they're dealing with. They come out of the distribution business.
Okay.
And second of all, they're rich enough that they don't need to make money. Like, there's no business model. Like, they can make a couple million bucks, and that's all they care about. They're not, you know, worried about putting together the new Google or, you know, the new whatever. They're just going to make a couple bucks and have fun and amuse themselves, and rich people can once again get things that regular people can't, furthering the inequality that plagues our great country.
There's a part of my brain that's like, are you trying to tell me that this kind of crap didn't exist already?
Right.
Like that the super rich weren't already
right
getting this. I'm just like, eh. Well, I mean, maybe it was more when we're still using film, you know, film goes to the wrong place or whatever.
I had a guy who was terminally ill,
mm-hmm,
and super rich, which literally, like, I'm not just saying he was rich. He was super rich. And the idea that his assistant or somebody, I don't even know what the relationship was, but somebody came to me and saying, hey, this guy is terminally ill and homebound and needs to see Episode 7, Star Wars, the new. And so being the good theater owner that I am, and the guy said to me, there's literally no money's no issue. You know, find out how much it would cost. And so it never went down.
Mm-hmm.
But I did engage the conversation with Disney. And the conversation happened. And like I said, it was never brought to light, and it was never really actually happened. But I can say that I don't even want to say technology, because they weren't talking about setting up a film projector or anything like that. They were talking about getting a copy. But I do think that you're right. I do think that the super rich were already had the ability. Now, I will say, even with money being no object, this was an incredibly challenging. It wasn't just like I made the call and the guy said, oh, it's $100,000, you know, and we'll, you know, it was something very outside of normal.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I think that, you know, rich people are already getting whatever they want.
Yeah.
Bastards.
How dare they? So, well, we hope that more people write us in next week, podcast@pennsinema.com, or hit us up on the Facebook page. Now, Penn, what have you been doing this week? What have you gotten yourself into? How dare you?
I'm pretty much just watching the Star Wars trailer over and over.
And you haven't become cynical like some people?
Ignorance is bliss. I'll just say that. Ignorance is bliss. When you're as simple-minded as me, it's really a pleasure. I'm reading an amazing book about a guy, a journalist, who decides to run the Badlands or the Badwater Ultra Marathon, which is the hardest race in the world, from the lowest point in North America to the highest point in North America.
Is this the book that you were waiting on?
No, this is another book that my friend appeared with. We were talking about it over dinner. And the next day, we were talking about it at dinner, and he was like, he brought up the topic of the book, and I think the book is called like Life on the Edge or something like that. And it appeared at my house the next morning. It was the coolest thing. It was really cool. So shout out to Scott. Not the mystery gibble.
No,
the other Scott.
The other Scott.
Yeah. but I've also been watching Black Mirror.
So you dipped in.
I dipped
after
in
our conversation.
I did.
How are you doing?
It hurts.
Let me see your wrists.
It hurts.
They're not cut or anything.
Yeah. I mean, this is a stressful. I don't know why I keep on. I can't honestly say that I enjoy it. I'm not enjoying it. I can't stop watching it. And there's another movie that I'm watching in pieces for the exact same reason. I'm not really enjoying it, but I can't stop watching it.
What's that?
Buster's
Mal Hart.
And it stars Rami
Malek.
Malek.
Did we just get a name right?
I was going to say Malachi. But I think you got it right before I had a chance to butcher.
Whoa.
Yeah, good job, David.
First time.
What?
12 episodes in.
So it stars him, which is why, frankly, that's why I tuned in, because I saw that he was the star. And this is the strangest movie I've seen in a long time. But I have to know what happens. So I'm going to keep watching it. It's the kind of movie, it's so bizarre that when I'm watching, like, let's say I'm watching it in the living room, If somebody else comes into the living room, I have to stop it. Because first of all, I can't look away or I miss something, mm-hmm. you know. And second of all, I don't want people to see the weird shit I'm watching. So,
oh, man.
What about you?
Okay, so I actually started watching Farscape this week, and I got a buddy to, like, I had articles ready that I was throwing at him, and little clips, and he's finally like, yeah, I think I'll check this out. I'm like, I'm in. We're doing it.
I'm in.
Watching Farscape. I also it was recommended, and I dipped in and watched Angry Birds, the first one, and whatever. It was fine. But the big one I watched this week was The Missing Link, and this movie was good.
I'm anxious to see. I haven't seen it yet. I'm anxious to see it.
I liked it. I laughed way more than I thought I was going to. It slows down and, like, struggles a bit in the center, but, you know, it is a kid's movie, but the comedy was great. The characters were well played out. The animation is amazing. I thought it was very endearing. I enjoyed the whole thing. I would wager they make another one.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So if you like animation or if you have kids, go see The Missing Link. For sure.
Next week.
Oh, boy.
I think... Because the following week is Avengers.
Yeah.
But I feel like a movie... don't you think this movie's... I don't think it's overdramatic to say it's going to be a historic weekend.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
Yeah. So no. I think next week we should start talking about it. I can't wait 2 weeks to start talking about Avengers.
All right. So next week, we're gonna be start talking about Avengers. I vote we each watch Infinity War again. Just to brush up.
You know, I already know what my opinion about Infinity War is going to be. I'm going to complain that too many people die.
Too many people die, and there's no permanence.
I don't even need to watch it. I'm already going to complain about that.
Oh, man. I want to hear some, like, let's come with some crazy
theories. I'm on board
for this.
I can't wait.
Yeah. All right. Cool. All right.
So next week, we're watching Infinity War. We're talking about Infinity War, and we're also continuing to speculate about Avengers. And I would like to, if anybody has an opinion, this is something that's been, because next Monday, I'm going to need to, like, nail down the final schedule.
Okay.
Does anybody care about 3D?
I don't.
I don't. But, I mean, we've always run Penn Cinema based on what the customers want.
Right.
You know, so I'm curious. Does anybody out there... So the deal is IMAX is requiring one 3D show a day.
Okay.
So in IMAX, if you want to see it in 3D, you can find the 10 p.m. show or whatever. But over here in the main building, I'm curious, and same with Huntington Valley and Wilmington, do we need to add...
More 3D.
Non-IMAX 3D shows. Is there an audience for that? Curious.
All right.
Curious.
Podcast, let me know. Cinema.com. Yeah. Chime in. All right. So we'll see you next week. My name's David Moulton.
Wait.
Oh, wait.
We got to talk about this.
Oh,
my sister-in-law wrote in. But she chickened out. I told her she should write in, but she didn't. I had a couple surgeries. And when I went under, I had a catchphrase that I'm not going to repeat on this podcast. But picture, channel your inner Ken Jeong. Right. And when the anesthesiologist is like, normally they count down from 10, and I was all getting ready to go under. So I'm on all these drugs, getting ready to have surgery. And I said, you guys need a catchphrase. And I had one to suggest. Lights out. And then it rhymed with brother trucker. I'll just say that. Right.
That was one of our big Facebook things. Like, we were looking for a new catchphrase for Penn.
But I decided I'm going to stick with Party On. I'm going to stick with Take Care and Party On, because that's what I say to people. I'm sorry. I don't mean any disrespect to you know, Wayne's World, you know. But yeah, so I'm all sticking with that. After all the controversy, the controversy.
You're going back, because you were the one who wanted to move away from it.
I know, but I feel naked without it.
Wow, I'm the one without a shirt on.
Yeah. Episode 12. That's when it got weird.
All right. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care and party on.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.